So the first Sunday of Lent, you look around, things have been changed. I learned in my liturgy courses that when one walks into the worship space, you should know what season it is just by the atmosphere. You know, this works just the same in our secular lives. You certainly know that it's Christmas time when you drive into a neighborhood. The lights are all up, maybe trees are out, there's decorations. Or Halloween, with all of the scary things that are out in the neighborhoods. Maybe your neighborhood does something on federal holidays, Memorial Day, 4th of July, and puts flags at the entrance. You can go into that neighborhood and see what's the season. So true here in church as well. During the Lenten season, we take that step back, a little more stark, a little less decorated, so that we can realize that this season is different. It's not the beautiful flowing flowers that are everywhere that we see, the poinsettias during Christmas time, but rather reserved, quiet. Liturgical vestments change. The official color is violet, so that we can see in this color this penitential nature, this reminder of who we are, and it is the time to work on our relationship with God. And here in these readings today, we are reminded of who we are and our relationship with God. In the very first reading, in the Garden of Eden, we know the story so well, and it's not meant to be historical fact. Many books in the Bible are allegory. Some of them are discourses. Some of them are poems. And until we study the Bible and be able to identify what kind of books are what, only then can we really merit the benefits of the Scripture. We're supposed to learn a lesson from this first reading. Again, those that wrote this date back 4,000-6,000 years ago, they had no idea of the heavens, what went around what was spiraling, but rather they knew it was in front of them. And the simple question was asked, where did we come from? And sometimes when we tell the two-year-old the answer to that question, it's not framed the same way as we might tell our 16-year-old when asked the same question. It's a very simple understanding, a very basic understanding. But nonetheless, there was a time when there was nothing. God brought something into being. God chose not to be alone anymore. And God, we refer to as the Godhead, three distinct persons in one God. So the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit existed for all time. But God chose to create human beings, that he would not be alone, and that he would have someone to love, and in return, who would love him back. Gave them everything. Put them in a wonderful place, the Garden of Eden. Now, it's always interesting as we study Scripture, how long were the people in the Garden of Eden, Adam and Eve? I have no idea. Master's degree in biblical studies, not a clue. Was it a week? Was it a decade? Was it a century? Was it a millennium? We don't know. But we do know they had everything. Their relationship with God was so pure, so clean, so simple. He was there. He took care of them. They loved him back. It really is that simple. Just love God. But then, sometimes it does get complicated. Something enters into the picture. Sometimes it slithers. Sometimes it's sparkly and bright. Sometimes it's wrapped up. Sometimes we don't even realize that it's evil walking right up to us. And things change. The relationship pivots. So too with the serpent and Eve. And what did Eve do? Eve, the loving, kind, sweet wife, shared with her husband. I gotta wonder if Adam didn't say, gee, Eve, where did you get this one from? It's different than all the others we've had. Or did he just think it was dinner and sat down to eat? We don't know. What we do know is that when they ate, their eyes were opened. Knowledge was received. And what was their knowledge? That we're naked. And what do? They sew fig leaves and make it a loincloth. Now, I have not had the experience, but I did read about it once. From what I understand, fig leaves, the oil on a fig leaf, is very irritating to human skin. And we've just sewn fig leaves together to make loincloths. So the area that the fig leaves are covered is going to be irritated by the oil. You know where I'm going here? We've tried to cover up our sin and only made things worse. Now, not only did I eat something I shouldn't have eaten, I'm incredibly uncomfortable. But that's what human beings do. Sometimes we don't want to fess up. Sometimes we don't want to tell the story the way it should be told. But for us Catholics, we know that we have the sacrament of reconciliation, confession, that opportunity to state what we have done wrong, seek forgiveness, and then make reparations for our sinful behavior. Even Jesus was tempted. And as Jesus went out into the desert for those 40 days, we spend 40 days thinking and reflecting on who we are and what we are about. Because we know after the time in the desert, Jesus was then baptized in the River Jordan, the beginning of his public ministry. Sometimes we need to remember why we get baptized. And this morning we're going to have a baptism in just a few minutes. Why are we baptized? Number one, to become a child of God. Number two, erases original sin away. Number three, it begins our public ministry. That's why Jesus was baptized. He was already the Son of God. He didn't have any original sin, but it was the beginning of his public ministry. So in the baptism, then, we renew our baptismal promises. All of us will this morning. So instead of saying the creed today, we'll renew our baptismal promises. And during Lent, we're going to use the Apostles' Creed, not the Nicene Creed. It's in the hymnal in case you get lost. That reminder that it's a different place and time. But the devil wants to give Jesus everything, and Jesus says very simply, we need the Word of God. This is what sustains us and nourishes us. Sometimes it's easy to forget that the Word of God contained in Scripture is just as important as the Eucharist is. St. Jerome said, ignorance of Scripture is ignorance of Christ. We need to be mindful of these words because the words in sacred Scripture are the words that God gave to the author that we might know and understand God. I don't know if any of us have spoken directly to God. I know there are a few times I would have liked to because I'd like some answers about a few things. But nonetheless, how do we know God? We see it in the words in Scripture. We're told what to do, how to behave, how to act, how to treat one another, how to be good people, how to be in relationship with God. And that comes from those commandments, which are not suggestions. Those are commandments. The things we are to do. We look at the mistakes of our forefathers in faith. We learn from their mistakes and try not to do the same thing. We try to stay on that straight and narrow, and the church gives us these 40 days, just as Jesus had 40 days in the desert to reflect, to ponder, to consider his role, to be reminded of himself, what he is to be doing, where he is to be going, how he is to treat everyone, what he is called to do, what God has asked him to do. Fully God, fully human. He got hungry, and he was tempted. But he stood up to the test. He stood up to those moments where Satan was looking at him and saying, look, just bow before me. And who is Satan, right? We know the story. Lucifer, one of the four original archangels, thought he could do the boss's job better than the boss could do. decided to have a big fight, a mutiny, if you will. He's thrown out of the kingdom by Saint Michael the Archangel. And now what is Satan? But the wicked, evil, ex-boyfriend, stalker kind of guy. The one that wants to ruin all of your plans just because he can. That's his function, to mess up God's plan. God's plan that was that we're going to live forever. We would have lived in the Garden of Eden. We would have had everything we needed, not known of sin, not known of illness, and certainly not knowing about death. But sin entered the world. Satan tricked the woman. The woman tricked the man. God asked the question. The original blame game started. Wasn't me, it was her. Wasn't me, it was the serpent. Don't blame me. Don't hold me responsible for my actions. Real simple. Don't eat from that one tree. Didn't get any simpler than that. And yet we could not even obey that. Paul tells us. Paul helps us understand what the scheme is going on. If someone were to wrong you, someone were to steal 10 bucks from you, what do you want? You want your 10 bucks back. Someone bumps into your car. What do you want? Your car fixed. This is fairness. This is justice. So if a man, we're using the singular instead of the plural for Adam and Eve, but if a man, a particular kind of species on the planet versus birds or fish, but man, if man made a mistake, the mistake needs to be fixed by a man. Jesus had to come to fix the mistake, had to open once again the gates of paradise for us, let us know how we are to live, because the entire 4,000 years written about in the Old Testament, we didn't seem to get it right all the time. So God sends a son. Would you please show those folks how to do this? It's not that hard. Love one another, care for one another, be good to one another. Life is grand. Until sin intervenes. And it's a sin we've got to stay away from, the sin we've got to look out for, the sin we have to watch for, that we can stay true to the relationship that we have with God. God loves us more than anything. We need to be able to be open enough to receive that love. And if we are so full of everything else that is worldly, my possessions, my money, my stuff, my sports, my gambling, my go on and on and on and on, if we are so full of that, where's there room for God? Maybe it's time during this season of Lent that we push some of that unnecessary stuff away and we make room for God in our lives and in our hearts. Because in the long run, nothing is permanent. Not even tattoos. They're not permanent. What's permanent is our immortal soul. That soul that longs to go home to God at the end of our earthly life. That's what's permanent. Everything else is temporary. Everything is temporary. So we need to focus on what's important. We need to focus on our eternal soul, where it is now and where we want it to go at the end of our human life. And of course, that's back to the kingdom. So let us take these 40 days. Reflect on the Word of God. Take some time, make some time just to read a little bit of Scripture. If you read no Scripture at all right now during your day or during your week, read a couple of lines of Scripture. No, you're not getting the whole story. Because the whole story is the entire library of 73 books. But take a piece. See if God isn't talking to you through that piece about living your life and orienting it toward God. So today, as this little child begins their new life in Christ, water will be baptized. We will renew our baptismal promises. Father Dan will get the baby all wet. washing away original sin, making them a child of God in this place, in the company of each and every one of us whom this family has invited to this moment in time. Think about it that way. And then a little while later, her older brother will receive First Holy Communion. The domestic church, the family, today receiving two marvelous, wonderful sacraments. This domestic church, this place outside of this church where the family gathers in love to pray and recognize God in their lives. That church at our house, we call it the domestic church. So let's pray for this family today. Let us pray for those who will be receiving the sacraments, and indeed, let us be reminded of God's love for us and our need to be in constant communication with Him through prayer and through Scripture.